You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You're listening to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. Now, here's your host, Faraz Siddiqui and Zach Rizzuto.
All right, let's move on to wide receivers. Let's do it. I got Davante Adams at number one this week against the Chargers. 50.5 projected total this week for this game. The Chargers have given up the ninth most fantasy points to perimeter wide receivers this year. So I think Adams is in for a good day.
I think so, absolutely. I think this one screams like, you know, fantasy points again. And the Chargers were in a high fantasy point outing last week against the Cardinals. And this is just another matchup for the Chargers that's going to have a lot of fantasy points. Davante Adams, as of late, has been on an absolute tear. And even though the point total, you know, this past week wasn't tremendous like it was a few weeks before that, but he's gone through weeks 9 to 12, he has 17 targets, 14 targets, 13 targets, 11 targets. Like, that's just ridiculous. Like, yeah. He's on an absolute tear right now. So just keep buying into that target share, you know, coming his way. Derek Carr's finally dialing in on him. He was a little bit iffy on and off to open the season, but now he's on a, you know, hot streak. And Davante Adams, he has a chance to be the wide receiver one every single week.
We got Stephon Diggs at number two against New England. Not a matchup you need to worry about. You know, we've seen number one wide receivers do their thing against New England this year. Justin Jefferson last week absolutely killed it. Nothing really to worry about there, especially on that left side where they're extremely vulnerable. But either way, I think Stephon Diggs is going to be able to do his thing. Josh Allen, assuming he's getting a little healthier as well. So, yeah. I don't think Stephon Diggs is going to have any problems this week against New England.
No, you can't bet against any of these top guys, regardless of the matchup. You know, it doesn't change much, you know, their matchup with these guys. It just might hamper their upside a little bit.
It just feels like I'm shuffling these like top five guys like every single week based on the matchup, pretty much.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And like I said, with Stephon Diggs, with any of these guys, the matchup isn't going to be a humongous indicator, but we have to find something to split these guys up. You know, so exactly. that might be the reason that we have him down below Davante Adams, because Davante Adams is a perfect matchup. Stephon Diggs, he's a very good receiver, but the matchup is just a little bit worse.
Tyreek Hill at three against San Francisco, you know, relatively tough matchup, but with him running so many routes from the slot, there's still a chance that he pops. The 49ers haven't been good defending the slot this year. And then I got Justin Jefferson at four against the Jets. I'm getting my popcorn ready for this one against Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed.
Yep.
And you know these corners are going to be ready for this matchup. So, you know, overall, it's been a tough matchup for perimeter wide receivers. And that's why Jefferson is all the way down at number four.
Yeah. He does draw a really tough matchup, because regardless if he's going against Sauce Gardner or DJ Reed, you know, he's going to be you have to fight for the yards and, you know, catches all day. And Justin Jefferson can obviously do that. But it's not a very good matchup.
If I had to bet on anybody, it would be Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, so right.
To beat this coverage.
Right, 100%. But, you know, don't text Faraz after 1 o'clock. You know, he's going to be watching a game.
Yeah.
You got his popcorn. He said, I'm going to be watching a game too closely, because that's a big one. I'm excited to see how he does, Justin Jefferson against the corners, because, you know, the really young corners, you know, in New York, and they could really be nice cornerstones for this defense.
I hope so. Amon Ross St. Brown, I'm tempted to put him over Jefferson this week, but I can't get myself to do it. You know, but this matchup is another high-scoring game, and the Jaguars have given up the third most fantasy points to slot wide receivers over the last eight games, and Amon-Ra has run a majority of his routes from the slot this year. He's been running a little bit more outside too, and there are some vulnerabilities, you know, on the outside against the Jaguars as well. So, you know, I love Amon-Ra this week, and, you know, him too. You know, he's been killing it over the last couple of weeks. You know, there's been a lot of tweets out, especially from Ian Hartis, talking about his target totals when there's no injury that's concerning him right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to find it real quick. His receptions in the last 14 games, not impacted by injury. 10, 8, 8, 9, 8, 8, 8, 9, 6, 7, 4, 10, 7, 9. So, like, when he's not injured, the dude is just getting targets. And, you know, the past couple weeks, he's been getting it done.
Yeah, not catches. Just targets.
It's
not,
I'm sorry, the catches.
Yeah, it's not just targets. It's not like he's getting fed 12 targets and catching 5 or 6 of them. You know, he's catching a majority of his targets. I don't know what that catch rate is because I don't know the exact totals. Ridiculous. But it's just super high. And I think you could argue that Amon-Ra St. Brown is a safer wide receiver this week than Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I would say so.
And I think it could warrant him being at 4 over Justin Jefferson and moving him down at 5. But we know what type of receiver Justin Jefferson is.
Yeah.
And that's where you have to, you know, make the distinction. I think Justin Jefferson's upside is higher just because of the offense that he's in. But Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's going to be a really nice fantasy wide receiver for you every single week. And we've seen that, and he's going to continue to be that way just as long as he stays healthy. And this is a really good matchup against Jacksonville. You know, Trevor Lawrence has come on. The offense has looked a lot better, you know, for the Jaguars. So I think that this could be a really big game, high-scoring game. One that's kind of flying under the radar because there are a lot of good matchups this week.
Yeah. You know, Ja'Marr Chase, he should be back. I have him at 6. I think they've been holding him back a little bit until he's 100%. You know, so I'd expect him to bring it this week in a great matchup and a high-scoring game against Kansas City. And then you have CeeDee Lamb at 7, A.J. Brown at 8, T. Higgins at 9. I really want to target these guys in this Chiefs-Bengals game. That's why I still have T. Higgins in the top 10.
Yeah.
And then I moved Chris Godwin up to 10, double-digit targets in 6 of his last 8 games. And the touchdowns, you know, finally came over the last 2 weeks. Him and Brady are just not – him and Brady are in sync right now. And Mike Evans and Brady are not in sync right now.
Yeah, it's gone very cold for Mike Evans, and things have really heated up for Chris Godwin. But, I just contradicted myself because, you know, I want to say things have really heated up. I guess in terms of production, they've really heated up for Chris Godwin. But we've seen this usage since week 6.
Yeah.
12, 13, 11, 10, 8, 13 targets in his last 6 games. Like, that's just ridiculous. 7 games, sorry. That's just ridiculous. You know, he's getting targeted regardless of the matchup and regardless of the game script. They've been in games. They've been out of games. It's just a Chris Godwin show at this point. Mike Evans, he's being phased out. I don't know why. You can't really explain it, but right now the hot hand is, you know, extremely hot. Like, it's on fire right now with Chris Godwin. So you can't avoid that. You can't ignore it either. I think that him being in the top 10 is a no-brainer, especially against New Orleans. I mean, I know they've struggled recently, but this is a different team than Tom Brady's faced the past few years where he struggled.
I got Jalen Waddle at 11. You know, I moved him down a bit because of the tough matchup against San Francisco. But Christian Kirk, man, I love, love, love his matchup this week against Detroit. Maybe I need to move him up over Waddle. I'll think about it.
Maybe.
But he had a tough matchup last week. He didn't come through. You know, but this week, he goes up against Detroit, who has been giving up the 5th most fantasy points to slot wide receivers this year. Their over-under is at 51.5. Christian Kirk has to be in lineups this week.
Yeah. Absolutely, 100%. I was tempted to say, like, just right off the bat, move him up over Jalen Waddle just because of the matchup. But the thing is, you know, Christian Kirk, he's been on and off this season. And we know Zay Jones is liable to have the Zay Jones game every few weeks. Obviously, that was last week. I don't know if that's going to continue moving forward, if it's going to be this week. But this is a really good matchup. You can't ignore it. You know, the Lions' defense has not been good. And even though they've been much more competitive in games recently and they brought the Bills to the wire, you know, it's still like the team that's going to have trouble stopping opposing offenses. And this offense suddenly has weapons, you know, especially if Travis Etienne plays, that can allow more balance and Christian Kirk can get some higher quality targets than just, you know, chucking it up in the air. But I think Christian Kirk should be a wide receiver 1. I'm tempted to put the guy we have beneath him above him just because I'm an Amari Cooper guy. But with Deshaun Watson, you know, I'm not sure I would do that. We'll see. I'd like to see them play together because Jacoby Brissett was doing just fine.
I was going to say, like, I have Amari Cooper at 13 against Houston. You know, we'll see how he does with Deshaun Watson, but there's no guarantees here, right? Like, I feel like this ranking might be a little bit too aggressive, you know, given what we don't know and, you know, what the fact that we don't know what to expect between him and Watson.
It's true. So the other okay, now you're persuading me against it, but we'll see. Because now I'm also thinking, like I said, we talked all week, and we talked especially yesterday about the Browns potentially leaning on the run game a lot heavier because they don't need to, you know, put Deshaun Watson in and ask him to do too much full throttle coming off, you know, a 2-year hiatus almost. That's essentially what it is. So maybe that's more run-centric. You know, I think Amari Cooper can get it done anyway, but You're right. Now I'm questioning his ceiling, because you have that, the fact that they're going to lean on the run game, and we don't know what Deshaun Watson is going to look like. It might be a little high. I think it's easy to bet on the talent because we know Amari Cooper's a good receiver, but and he's done very well with Jacoby Brissett. But there's a lot of more question marks that need to be, you know, answered before we can, I think, rank him that high. So maybe we bump him down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love Keenan Allen's matchup, right? I have him at 14 yep. against the Raiders. Like, as we talked about all year long, the Raiders have been absolutely terrible against slot wide receivers. That's where Keenan Allen runs most of his routes from.
Yeah.
And then DK Metcalf at 15, Tyler Lockett at 16. I'm always going to pair these two, like, right next to each other.
This is exactly where they were in the rankings last week. I didn't have to touch them. This is exactly how we had them.
I love it. Garrett Wilson at 17. You know, I love him this week against Minnesota. Yep. You know, with Mike White, you know, I think he can have a big day. I have Christian Watson right after him at 18. You know, do I love Wilson's matchup too much? Like, should we move Watson ahead of Wilson?
No.
Against Chicago?
Nope. No, I think Garrett Wilson deserves to be at 17 over Watson at 18. I'd argue maybe Garrett Wilson could be put over Tyler Lockett.
Okay.
Because the Rams defense, Aaron Donald, he might not play this week.
He's not playing.
He might have been ruled out. There
you ruled him out.
That's a big blow. But it's still a division game for them. I think that it'll be close enough. The Seahawks have kind of cooled down a little bit on offense recently, outside of, you know, last week. But I think that Garrett Wilson should be, you know, ranked pretty high this week, because we see that Mike White obviously knows how to get the ball to his playmaker, and that's Garrett Wilson. And he's looked good, you know, in the games that he's been able to benefit from non-subpar QB play. So, and the matchup, like you said, is fantastic. The Vikings pass defense is just horrific. I think that Garrett Wilson is in for a big day.
I think so, too. I mean, I think he has more upside than Tyler Lockett, but Lockett's on a roll right now, man. I mean, you know, he scored a touchdown in four straight games. Like, it's just like, if I have Lockett, I really would have a hard time benching him for Garrett Wilson, just because he's been getting it done for me, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. But if you want to play upside, play the upside game, you know, if you need to punch into the playoffs, punch your ticket, Tyler Lockett, he's been middle of the pack, but that's been reliable for you. Garrett Wilson, though, I think has a really good upside.
Yeah,
I feel like we have him ranked really high. Would you be disappointed if he had a game quieter than like 5 catches for 70 yards?
Yeah, I'd be disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I would be, for sure. If I'm ranking him here.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, in general, like, 5 catches for 70 yards isn't bad. Maybe if 5 catches, 70 yards of touchdown, is that still a disappointment or no?
No.
Okay. So
five for 70 a touchdown, I'm happy.
All
right. I'm happy.
Yeah. I think he could easily.
That's pretty much what you're expecting from Tyler Lockett.
Yeah.
Like five for 60 and a touchdown, you know. Mm-hmm. Then I got Terry McLaurin at 19, Brandon Ayuk at 20. Solid matchups for both of these guys. You know, on that left side where McLaurin runs most of his routes from, he's been, you know, that's where the Giants' vulnerability is. I'm still okay starting him. He hasn't necessarily got it done over the last couple of weeks, but we know he's still getting targeted. I'm cool starting him. Brandon Ayuk, you know, Debo's a little bit banged up right now. So I think, you know, IU can potentially get it done. And in this game, we have no idea how this game is going to go. High scoring, low scoring, you know, what's going to happen this week, you know, with Miami. But if it's a game where Miami can put up points, then, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to throw it a little bit. And I think IU has a plus matchup this week.
Yeah, I think it's a good matchup, because if the Dolphins offense does any type of scoring against this defense, you know, they're obviously going to have Brandon IU contributing in the passing game. Debo Samuel, oddly enough, he's been super quiet, and that doesn't really make sense to me. You said he's maybe a little banged up. I thought he was back, you know, from injury. He was back pretty well, but that doesn't seem to be the case. Jimmy Garoppolo also seems to just be looking for Brandon Ayuk more often.
Yeah.
And he's had really good target share, I think, the past few weeks.
He has. I mean, this makes sense to me. I mean, you know, second half of last season, Ayuk was out targeting Debo, right? And now you bring in Christian McCaffrey, who's getting, you know, a bunch of targets out of the backfield. And those were Debo's targets before. You know, those low A-dot targets, that was all Debo before. And now it's Christian McCaffrey. So this move to trade for McCaffrey, like, hurt Debo the most. And that's what we said, you know, from the beginning when Christian McCaffrey got traded to the 49ers. Like, this was going to happen. And, you know, Debo gets downgraded. And I don't even have him here in the top 20.
I think
you'll see where I have him. Like, I have him down at 30.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, should I spoil it? Because he barely cracks the top 30, because he is 30.
And his target share has really gone down. And on top of that, he's hurt. So, you know, listen, Kittle has a good matchup this week. You know, McCaffrey's going to likely play. Ayuk has a good matchup too. And he's been the target share leader. So where does Deebo fall here? He has to get it done on a catch and long run for a touchdown, or he gets a run out of the backfield or something like that, you know, in the red zone. But, you know, he's going to have to do something miraculous for him to, you know, be a, you know, top 24 wide receiver, you know? Yeah. So that's why I have him so low.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You know, I have Mike Evans at 21, moved him down a ton. I moved him down like 10 spots this week.
This is just, yeah, this is where he has to be. You know, with the way that he's produced, the inconsistency that he's had, and he was inconsistent to open the season, and it's okay to be inconsistent if your boom days are 30 points, 26 points, you know, like he was having. But he is now consistently bad. Like, he's been under, I think, 10 PPR points the past 3 weeks. Like, it's been bad. I don't know what it's about. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, Chris Godwin getting a bunch of targets might explain some of it, but Mike Evans is a much better talent than this. And we haven't really seen this before with Mike Evans, a stretch this long of bad games. So
he had a good run. You know, he had a good run between weeks 4 and 8 where he had 3 games over 80 yards receiving. Yeah. But he only, in that span, he only had 2 touchdowns. He only has 3 touchdowns on the year. And then lately, over his last 3 games, 5 for 40, 5 for 54, and 2 for 31. So they need to get on the same page. We don't know if Marshon Lattimore is going to play this week or not. He started practicing last week. There's a chance that he still doesn't play. So obviously that Marshon Lattimore, you know, has been Mike Evans' kryptonite over his career. So if he doesn't play, then, you know, you're kind of feeling better about Evans. And even if Marshon Lattimore does play, I don't know if he's going to play a full, you know, a full complement of snaps.
If I'm not mistaken, they ejected each other. They got themselves ejected in week 2. So yes,
that's not good either. No, that's not good either, because Mike Evans won't play if that happens.
Yeah, no, obviously. Yeah, but the other thing that's kind of sticking out to me, you mentioned the past 3 weeks that he's had such low output. He's caught 12 passes, but he's been targeted 26 times. That's under 50% catch rate on those targets. That's just like I said, unprecedented. I never saw that coming from Mike Evans, especially with Tom Brady at quarterback. I thought that was better, but I don't think this is like regression or any problem with Mike Evans. It's just not going the Buccaneers' way. Not only for fantasy, but just this season in general. So it's been weird seeing the Buccaneers kind of fall out of relevance for fantasy outside of maybe Chris Godwin, because the running backs are kind of barren. Tom Brady, he's low-end QB2 at best right now. So yeah. We'll see.
Chris Olave at 22 against Tampa. You know, he should get his targets in this game. Are you starting Chris Olave or Mike Evans?
They're both rough matchups. I would go with Chris Olave just because I trust that he'll have a role more than Mike Evans. There's not as much competition for targets, especially with Rashad White, you know, coming out of the backfield. He got a bunch of targets last week. That might also be part of it. You know, I mean, I know Mike Evans is a downfield threat, so Rashad White isn't going to be chopping into that, but there's not any weapons outside of, you know, Chris Olave and Alvin Kamara on the Saints offense.
Did the Bucks play on Monday night?
Yeah, they're the Monday night game.
Okay, so that's why we didn't get any practice reports yesterday. I was wondering about Leonard Fournette for a second. I'm like, wait, did we hear anything? No, we didn't. Their first official practice is today, Friday, and then Saturday.
Yep.
Okay, so I got Juju at 23. You know, you know, on the confidence scale, you might want to play him over Mike Evans too. Honestly,
a very good matchup against Cincinnati. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster has a chance to contribute.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Cincinnati has been good against wide receivers this year. You know, and you know, it's one of those things though where it's Patrick Mahomes, right? And it's like,
yeah,
he's what makes things good matchups. And yep. Like, I think Juju can still get it done. Last week, Juju was on a snap count. He didn't run too many routes. He only got a couple catches. But I would expect him to be, you know, 100% good to go this week.
Is there a negative matchup with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback? I just don't feel like that's really a thing. And I don't want to, you know, blow smoke up his ass too much, but, you know, Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes.
He deserves it.
He's a complete game changer. Like, I haven't seen personally the level of play from Patrick Mahomes at such a consistent level, you know, in all of my watching of football. Even Tom Brady he's looked good, but Tom Brady wasn't like, wow, highlight reel plays. You know, he was just like, good. It's like, wow, you know, this guy is really good at what he does.
You know, like the days of Peyton Manning, you know, those were like the days where it was just like every single week, like, holy shit. Like, you know, like, he doesn't do, like, you know, behind the back fucking passes like Patrick Mahomes does, and, like, you know, these like sidearm
throws. It wasn't as flashy,
It wasn't as flashy, but like the throws that he would make, like, unbelievable. So, like, he was probably the best arm talent that I've seen, you know, in, you know, me watching football. But yeah, Patrick Mahomes is right there.
Yeah.
He's right there.
In terms of fantasy, like, he's just unstoppable. It doesn't matter. And every season we come into, we talked about this a little bit. We come into the season saying, like, is it worth drafting Patrick Mahomes because he's a quarterback? Yes. Because he's a lock for 20-some, 30-some points every week. Doesn't matter who the opponent is. That's just what he does.
And then I got Michael Pittman at 24 against Dallas. He's going to see I don't think he gets shadowed this week.
Trayvon Diggs hasn't shadowed hardly anybody. I mean, they don't move him around too much. I mean, they were leaving Anthony Brown in coverage against Darius Slayton, and he was getting sunned. So,
yeah, I'm not sure why he's listed here as a projected shadow, but he's been on his side on 90% of routes run against him. So, yeah, so I doubt it. But Michael Pittman does run most of his routes against Trayvon Diggs, so just keep that in mind. But he does move around a little bit, so I'm not too worried about him. I'm not trying to stay off of him or anything like that. Wouldn't worry about it too much. Like, Anthony Brown, you know, that their side has been giving up the fourth most fantasy points to wide receivers over the last 4 weeks. So they have been giving up a little bit of, you know, points lately. So hopefully Michael Pittman can take advantage of that this week. And then you got Devontae Smith at 25 against Tennessee. This is a pretty good matchup for Devontae Smith. I know this offense, passing offense, has been quiet lately. But, you know, it's one of those situations where against Tennessee, Devontae Smith runs most of his routes on the right side and the slot. And Tennessee has been giving up the second most fantasy points to wide receivers on that right side and the ninth most in the slot this year. So, you know, that's why I love AJ Brown too, because on that left side, Tennessee's been giving up the fourth most fantasy points. So I know this team isn't the most pass heavy team, but
yeah,
against Tennessee, I feel like they might be, because, you know, they're a very tough rush defense. And I feel like they're going to put the ball in Jalen Hurts' hands in this game, and they're going to air it out a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about the Titans, how they got toasted. I think it was by Davante Adams earlier in the season. Or no, it wasn't Davante Adams. Stephon Diggs. They got toasted in week one. And then they kind of did that thing where they double the number one receiver on the team, you know, and they just take him out of the game. Yeah, and then they stopped last week against T. Higgins. But it's interesting. I feel like they're going to be extra motivated to make sure that A.J. Brown does not have a big day against them. Because remember, this is the team that traded AJ Brown, you know, because they didn't want to pay him. And now he's with the Eagles and he's like having a good season. I think Devontae Smith, because of that, you know, they might go back to that coverage, double cover AJ Brown, make sure he doesn't have a big day. Devontae Smith could be wide open.
I can see it.
That could definitely be something I see happening.
Last week, Higgins went 7 for 114 and a touchdown. The week before that, you had Christian Watson getting those two touchdowns. And then Alan Lazard had a decent game. Randall Cobb had a decent game. So, you know, this is one of the situations where I would try to have wide receivers against Tennessee, you know, especially on an offense like this and talents like this, like Devontae Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have Josh Palmer at 26. I'm assuming Mike Evans isn't playing this week. So that's why I have Josh Palmer here.
Mike Williams. Not Mike Evans. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm assuming Mike Williams isn't going to play this week. He hasn't practiced yet. We'll see what his practice reports are today and tomorrow. But I have Josh Palmer here. Palmer's been like low-key getting it done, dude. You know, and I'm honestly surprised that he's still able to get it done. Now, Keenan Allen didn't get a huge target share last week, and I think that's an anomaly. You know, we had Josh Palmer, you know, get some targets. You know, we had DeAndre Carter. I think he had double-digit targets last week. I don't think that's going to happen often.
No.
So sure. I would think that it's going to be Keenan Allen. Yeah. I would assume that Josh Palmer is going to be the guy, you know, getting targets behind him before DeAndre Carter does. So I think the targets are going to be going to be redistributed this week, especially with Mike Evans out. Mike Williams out.
We had DeAndre Carter. Yeah, he did have 10 targets last week, and he caught 7 of them, and he did score a touchdown. So that was a good week for him. But like we said, this is going to reshuffle. Keenan Allen should get full compliment now. That might have been the test run last week to see. You know, obviously, that he had been out a while, just a test run to see if he's back and 100%. And, you know, he passed that test with flying colors with the work that he got. Having Keenan Allen back, I think, benefits Josh Palmer a ton. And that's going to help him stay relevant these next few weeks. As long as Mike Williams is out. You know, so with Mike Williams out, I mean, and Keenan Allen in the lineup, Justin Herbert has looked like a completely different quarterback. He looks like the Justin Herbert that we've come to know. And I can't say I didn't call it. I did. But he looks really good. And with Justin Herbert throwing very well and the offense in very good matchup this week against the Raiders, you know, I wouldn't be keeping Josh Palmer out of my lineup if I had him. He could have a huge game. And he did. I think it was three weeks ago, in the game where he wasn't supposed to have a big game. That was when Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, were they both back in the lineup?
They were both active.
Yeah, they both played.
Josh Palmer scored a touchdown on like the first drive of the play, like a long touchdown on the first drive.
Yep.
Then Mike Williams had a catch and then was out. And then Josh Palmer just went off.
Yeah. I guess maybe because now he's supposed to do well, he won't. We'll see.
it's a high scoring matchup. It's against Vegas and it's a good matchup too. So, you know, it's one of the situations where you want to target these type of games. So I'm totally fine having Josh Palmer in my lineup as a flex play, wide receiver three play.
Yeah.
Gabe Davis, I mentioned him already, you know, tonight. New England, you know, he lines up on the left side most of the time. He runs most of his routes from the left side. And this year, Buffalo has given up the second most fantasy points. New England has given up the second most fantasy points to slot to that left perimeter over the last 8 weeks and over the last 4 weeks. So it's a spot where you want to target, and Gabe Davis could potentially go off because of that.
Yeah, would love to see that. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
He's had some quiet games recently. You know, he's been more of a bust than a boom recently. So hopefully we can see him get back into the mix of things.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about Gabe Davis is that before this past game, you know, he had a couple, you know, decent target games, you know, 7 targets, 10 targets, you know, so that's a good sign for him.
Clearly want to have him involved.
Yeah, we would have hoped for a better game against Detroit last week, but
yeah,
it is what it is. Treylon Burks at 28 this week. I think his upside is a lot higher than a lot of these guys we have around him. But, you know, Tennessee, you just like never really know how they're going to attack, right? You never know if they're going to be throwing the ball a lot, if they're going to be running the ball a lot. If we knew that they were a balanced offense, then I think I would have Burks higher because his target share has been there. His targets per route run has been there. But that's why we keep bringing up targets per route run with Treylon Burks because, like, the volume isn't necessarily there for this passing offense on a consistent basis. So I think Burks, I'm not worried about the matchup, you know, in terms of Darius Slay or anything like that, because we've seen over the last couple of weeks, Philly has been giving up some decent weeks to wide receivers. Like, this is not a matchup where you're like, oh, like Darius Slay, you know, is just going to like shut it down, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you look at what happened last week, Christian Watson, right? 4 for 110 and a touchdown. The week before, Michael Pittman, 6 for 75, not terrible. Terry McLaurin, the week before that, 8 for 128. So, you know, this isn't a matchup that you necessarily have to stay away from for your wide receiver. So this isn't a scary matchup for me if I have Treylon Burks.
And Treylon Burks has looked pretty darn good these past 2 weeks. You know,
oh, yeah.
He's healthy. And he's looking like he's going to be a bigger factor in the offense moving forward. And I'm not too worried about it because he's the number one wide receiver on this offense. The only thing with Treylon Burks, you know, you assume the risk of the Titans leaning heavy into whatever they decide to do on a given day. Like you said, if they're going to run the ball, well, guess what? They're going to be running the ball. Ryan Tannehill might attempt 20 passes. And then there are days where they decide, oh, we're going to throw the ball. And then now suddenly Ryan Tannehill's getting closer to 40 passes. It's like, it makes no sense. If it's just an off day, you're going to have that issue. I think for that reason, I would keep him under Gabe Davis right now, because Gabe Davis is like just about the same thing, but he's on better offense. So,
and he has a much better matchup too.
Yeah, the matchup too also does that. Even though New England's tough, but when you look deeper into it, on the surface, New England's a tough matchup. Look deeper into it, like you said, it's not that bad a matchup. So I would keep Treylon Burks here, but the upside is definitely there against Philly, especially. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to get in the garbage time, but if they get into any type of situation where they're in a negative game script, you know, that they're going to be throwing the ball, Treylon Burks is going to be the guy catching it.
If Richie James can go 5 for 41 and a touchdown out of the slot against Dallas, like he did last week, I think Paris Campbell can do so as well.
Assuming they throw him the ball, right?
Yeah.
Because they did not do last week.
No, they did not. And I have him at 29. That's a little bit of a downgrade for Paris Campbell because of what we saw last week. And it was super. I was wondering why they weren't passing him the ball, you know?
Yeah.
Against the Steelers. The last 2 weeks, the Steelers have been shut down against the slot. Tyler Boyd, Paris Campbell. They've both been shut down pretty much. So, you know, maybe the Steelers are doing something different because they know that was one of their vulnerabilities. But Paris Campbell, I still think he's a solid wide receiver 3 this week. We've seen most games with Matt Ryan where he's being peppered, you know. So I would – that's why I have him over Deepo, who I have at 30, because I think there's a higher chance that Paris Campbell gets a high target share, gets a bunch of receptions. And, you know, and honestly, Paris Campbell had those 3 games with those 3 touchdowns. But Deebo probably has a better chance of scoring. So if you're in a standard league, you know, I'd probably go Deebo. If you're in a PPR league, I'll probably go Paris.
Yeah, Paris Campbell makes sense. I'd bet on Paris Campbell's receiving work out touching, you know, Deebo Samuel's wide back work every week, at least at this point, you know, moving forward. Unless something drastic changes, like maybe Brandon Ayuk gets hurt, I'm not going to hope for that. But unless something like that happens where Deebo Samuel is in line for more work, you know, he's going to be suffering from the effects of Christian McCaffrey being traded. And we talked about that. But Paris Campbell, he can definitely get it done. Like I said, especially if, you know, Matt Ryan throws the ball to him. We've seen he does good things. We just need Matt Ryan to throw him the ball. The only thing that concerns me is that the pass game might be, you know, shaky at best because of the pass rush. We talked about Matt Ryan being slow moving in the pocket. And Dallas has a pretty good pass rush. So we'll see how that adds up. But maybe if they get into garbage time, you know, Paris Campbell could do some things.
Yeah, the hope is that, you know, because of that pass rush, they realize that Paris Campbell is their wide receiver that they should throw to because he runs those short routes.
Those quick out, quick in,
Exactly. Like, that's what Paris Campbell does best. So, hopefully they realize that.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.